Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sri Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Bhava Kano 6 chapter 1 verse 21 Kanya Kobje Dvija Kastit
Kanya Kobje Dvija Kastit
Dasi Patir Ajami Laha
Dasi Patir Ajami Laha
Namnashta Saracharo
Namnashta Saracharo
Dasya Samsarga Gushita
Dasya Samsarga Gushita
Kanya Kudde Duja Kasche
Kanya Kudde Duja Kasche
Dasya Patti Ajamila
Dasya Patti Ajamila
Namnashta Saracharo
Namnashta Saracharo
Dasya Samsarga Gushita
Dasya
Namaste,
Namaste, Namaste,
Namaste,
Kanyakumse, in the city of Kanyakumja, Bija, Brahmana, Kaschit, Sam, Dasipati, husband of a low class woman, Ajamilo, Ajamil, Nam Nam, by name, Nasta Sarachara, who lost all Brahminical qualities, Dasya, of the prostitute, Samsargadushita, contaminated by the association. Translation of the city known as Kanyakubja, there was a Brahmana named Ajamil, who married a prostitute, maidservant, and lost all his Brahminical qualities because of the association of that low class woman. Therefore, the fault of illicit connection with women is that it makes one lose all Brahminical qualities. In India, there's still a class of servants called Sudras, whose maidservant wives are called Sudranis. Sometimes people who are very lusty establish a relationship with such maidservants and sweeping women. Since in the higher status of society, they cannot indulge in the habit of woman hunting, which is strictly prohibited by social convention. Ajamil, a qualified Brahmana youth, lost all his Brahminical qualities because of the association with the prostitute, but he was ultimately saved because he had begun the process of Bhakti Yoga. Therefore, in the previous verse, Sukadeva Goswami spoke of the person who has only once surrendered himself to the lotus feet of the Lord, or has just begun the Bhakti Yoga process. Bhakti Yoga begins with Shravana Kirtan Vishnu hearing and chanting the Lord Vishnu's names as in the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Chanting is the beginning of Bhakti Yoga. And therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu declares, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Navatevulam, Kalona Steva, Nasteva, Nasteva, Gatiranyata. In this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. There's no other way, there's no other way, there's no other way. The process of chanting the holy name of the Lord is always superbly effective, but it is especially effective in this age of Kali. Its practical effectiveness will now be explained by Sukadeva Goswami through the history of Ajamil, who was freed from the hands of Yamadutas simply because of chanting the holy name of Narayana. Pariksha Maharaj's original question was how to be free from falling down into hell or the hands of the Yamadutas. In reply, Sukadeva Goswami is citing this old historical example to convince Pariksha Maharaj of the potency of Bhakti Yoga, which begins simply with the chanting of the Lord's name. All the great authorities of Bhakti Yoga recommend the devotional process beginning with the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. Translation is today known as Kanyakubja. There was a Brahmana named Ajamil who married a prostitute, maidservant, and lost all of his Brahminical qualities because of the association of that low class woman. So, previously, in response to Pariksit Maharaj's question about deliverance from hellish punishment, Sukadev gave several answers. One was prayaschitta according to karma yoga, in which one does certain remedial activities to cancel out the effects so one can avoid the sinful punishments. That was rejected by Pariksit, because he says this is not a permanent solution to the problem. Again, the person will commit a sinful act and again he'll have to get punished. And then Sukadev recommended the process of jnana. But here we find the final recommendation is given by Sukadev Goswami, and that is the chanting of the name of the Lord. What is wrong with the jnana process is, in most cases, people are unqualified for that. And when they're committing sinful activities, then they get absorbed in those such activities, and it's impossible for them to switch over to jnana, which requires a lot of subtle qualities, which they don't have. So here we have the case of a brahmana who apparently was, because he's a brahmana, born in a brahmana family, should have cultivated sattvic qualities. By association, then he fell from that position. So, that of course indicates that bad association is very dangerous, even for a person situated in sattva, or who has cultivated brahminical qualities. Even though a person is sattvic, it is possible for him to fall from that position. This, of course, is also evident from the description of the gunas in the Bhagavad Gita. And there it says that the gunas keep changing. Sometimes sattva is prominent, but then suddenly tamaguna, rajaguna will enter in and overtake a person. Or even if a person is in tamaguna, then sattva or rajas may overtake the person. So, though we speak of sattva, tama, and raja according to predominance, there's always the possibility that the other gunas are going to rise up. So, the possibility of the other gunas rising up in, from a sattva guna person is when he gets the wrong association. This is a major stimulus for manifesting tamaguna or rajaguna instead of sattva guna. So in other words, if a person associates with a tamasic person, then there is more likelihood that suddenly he will manifest tamas also. Of course, the whole world is a mixture of gunas, and this is also just the environment, and so many objects that we associate with them are of different natures and will be affected. So therefore we have food. If we take tamasic food, it is more likely we're going to fall from a sattvic platform to a tamasic platform. It's by food. Or by environment. So if one is in a tamasic place, which is dirty and full of all sorts of tamasic objects, then we are likely to fall into tamaguna there also, even though we may be sattvic by nature. So those are some of the influences, but the major influence is considered to be the person. If we associate with a person who is in tamaguna, then we can also get that tamaguna nature very quickly and more easily. So therefore association is considered to be a major factor and a major danger for a person. It is like the example is given of a crystal, svatika, which is clear, quartz crystal. So it is clear, no particular color to it. But we put it near a red rose, then it looks reddish. If we put it near a yellow rose, it'll look yellowish. If we put it near a black object, it'll look blackish. So very easily it seems to absorb the color of whatever it's close to. You take it away, then of course the color disappears. It becomes clear again. You put it near, then immediately it looks reddish, or looks bluish, or yellowish, or whatever. By association. And so, associating with people of different gunas is also like that. So if the sattvic person associates closely with the tamaguna person, then he's likely to pick up that tamaguna quality, just like the crystal. So this is the danger of association. You can go near it, then you pick up the color. this is the problem. Of course, association is of various sorts. Proximity is one association, not good. But more than that association is interactions in a friendly way. That type of association creates more of an influence because one establishes a friendly relationship, and then when that happens, the possibility of influence is much more. If we're enemies with a person and closely near them, then obviously we're not going to pick up many of the qualities. But if you're very sympathetic to them, then very definitely you'll start picking up those qualities. Of course, we can also say the opposite. That by association with a sattvic person, a tamasic person should also become sattvic. It is possible also.
both things are possible. But often it may happen the other way also, and the person may be badly influenced by the lower nature. Particularly if they are not fixed very well in sattva. In any case, there's always danger in the gunas. Because everything is a mixture of gunas, and those gunas can rise up at any moment. So that association makes that more likely to happen, right? Wrong association. So therefore, this is a problem with the material world. Due to association, we keep changing. This, of course, is also another reason why simply manipulating gunas is not a very stable method or a solution to our problems. Yes, we can try to maintain sattva gun as much as possible, but there's no guarantee, because gunas are always a mixture, and you kind of have absolute pure sattva in the material world. So there are chances that you will fall from that position eventually, because the rest of the world anyway is a mixture of gunas, and Kali Yuga is full of tamagunas. So therefore, it is very difficult to maintain a sattvic level in Kali Yuga. Very, very difficult, because of the environment itself is very tamasic. So, therefore, the association with the material world and merely manipulating gunas and trying to attain sattva gunas is a problem. For this reason, we'll also see that even the devatas have problems. They are more sattva gun than the people who are sattva gun on earth, but still, they get problems, like Indra, or whatever. So, the material world is of this nature, that things keep changing like this all the time. Due to the bad association here, this person who was Brahminical fell from his position in the material world. Now the solution, of course, is presented here after rejecting the other processes of karma, which is adjustment of gunas and things like that, and then jnana, destroy everything and get liberation, basically. That's another process, but very difficult to do. Now, the process of chanting the holy name is indicated. But we'll see in this particular case, it is not technically not bhakti proper, because it is accidental chanting. And bhakti we define usually in terms of faith. We are qualified for bhakti by faith, but a person who accidentally chants has no faith. He's just chanting accidentally to mean something else. So he's not chanting because he has faith in the Lord, he's chanting because he means, in this case, the name of his son. In another case, maybe the name of a product or a store or something, a Narayan store or something, or a Narayan liquor store, whatever, and they say the name Narayan there, then or the brand name of some candy bar or something, then it's all accidental. So there's no faith involved there. So it's not bhakti proper that we describe in the nectar devotion, where we have, you know, anukulin Krishna nusilan, a favorable attitude towards the Lord. It's not there. Neutral. And in this case, not offensive also. In other words, he didn't have any negative feelings towards the Lord, or saying the Lord is a demon, or the Lord is a material being, etc. He's named the son Narayan and chanted the name Narayan, that's all. Some people, of course, chant with offense, such as the demons, like Shishupala, chanting Krishna's name, Krishna's a rascal, Krishna's a demon, etc. That is aparad chanting his name. Still that had effect. So this is the case, a better effect, and it is accidental without any aparad. So this is what we call namabhas stage. There is another stage of namabhas with faith. That is, we already have the shraddha, our faith, and we're chanting voluntarily, but there's also a bhas there. It can happen due to ignorance or whatnot. So some people have got little knowledge, but not too much knowledge, and they have faith, and they're chanting, but they have all sorts of misconceptions. So that is also a bhas. So this is a lesser bhas, without faith. simply accidental chanting, and also no operandi. So this, of course, is, we can say, a precursor of bhakti. Before bhakti, one can do this. It's like a gyato sukriti, the accidental chanting of the name. And after some time, and maybe lifetimes later, depending on how often one accidentally chants, then one develops faith. And with faith, then intentionally we chant. So it's favorable in that sense that it can lead to faith and bhakti itself. So this type of chanting is here praised as a method of entering into bhakti for people who have no faith. It's accidental. So this is a state prior to bhakti with faith. In that sense, it's open to everybody. The misfortune is that it's not that everybody will accidentally chant, because it has to happen by accident. They're not intentionally doing it. So the problem is that usually it's infrequent because it's accidental. In this case, the good fortune was it was the name of the son, and he was attached to a son. So therefore, he frequently chanted the name. So that was better for him. So that was a plus point in this case. In many cases, it won't be like that. And therefore, advancement is very, very slow, or purification to the point of actually getting faith will take many, many lifetimes, because they don't repeatedly chant the name. So, of course, but not only the name, other things also act as agato sukriti, like prasadam, etc. And we can advance by those things also if they're accidental. So it's a similar type of situation. However, the name also has very special power, because even if it's not repeatedly chanted, even if it is only chanted once, accidentally, it still has great effect. It does not immediately produce faith, but still it has great effect. And what is that effect? It destroys all your karmas. So that is what is illustrated in this particular story. That when he named his son Narayana, all of his karmas finished. At any point, anything he did after that had no effect. Even if he committed sinful activities after he named his son Narayana, those sinful activities had no reaction for him. Huh? It is considered like the snake, poisonous snake with his teeth that bites people, which is venom in people. So it's like a snake with no teeth. Sinful activities happen, but they don't give any reaction. So it's like biting of a toothless snake. He committed sinful activities, no karma after that point. Why? That is because of the chanting of one name of Narayana accidentally. All of his karmas, past, present, future, got erased. So that is the great power, particular power of chanting the name of the Lord. Even accidentally, it can destroy all these karmas in this particular way. So that means no hellish punishment, because hellish punishment means your karmas are there for sinful activities of this lifetime. He had no sinful activities, or he had sinful activities but no reactions, because he chanted the name and it removed all the effects of previous sinful activities of this life or previous lifetimes, and also the activities after he chanted, all removed. So therefore, Yamadutas couldn't touch him at all. So compared to jnana, this is easier process, obviously. Much easier process. But of course, then the problem is this is accidental, so therefore it requires some good fortune to some that accidentally chant the name in this position to get rid of your sinful reactions. But nevertheless, it shows the great power of chanting. So, if we do it intentionally, of course, then much more effect we can get from the holy name. Not only do we remove sinful reactions, but we also produce bhakti, which is even greater than simply removing one's sinful reactions. So, Therefore, the answer to the question of how to get rid of hellish punishment is answered here by the fact that this chanting once removes all the hellish activities, past, present, and future. This is the easiest method of all. Mm-hmm. However, getting rid of sinful reactions, etc., is not the actual goal of bhakti itself. Okay? So when we come to a higher level, that is, we have faith and we chant, then the goal is not to get rid of sinful reactions. So the story is here to illustrate the power of chanting the name of the Lord. Not that this is the goal of chanting, but this is the one power of the Lord for a person who chants once accidentally. Huh? In other places of the Bhagavatam, we also have verses that say that chanting once with faith or purely has even greater power. Much greater power. And it can elevate one to a very high position in bhakti. So, therefore, this is one story in the Bhagavad, which is a glorification of the name. In this case, it is the name of Narayana. But of course, we also know that a thousand names of Vishnu are equal to one name of Rama, and three names of Rama are equal to one name of Krishna. So if Narayana's name can do this accidentally, then the name of Krishna should do much more. That's also a conclusion we have to reach. So this is a glorification of Narayana's name particularly, but then if you take Krishna's name, we should understand much more is there in Krishna's name. 3,000 times more, in effect, whatever that is. So, in any case, this is showing one of the effects of bhakti. This is also manifest in the as one of the qualities of bhakti, that is kleshagni. So kleshagni, of course, removes, that means bhakti removes karmic reactions. It also removes the cause of the karmas, which is your desires. It also removes the avidya. So all levels are removed by the process of bhakti. Now originally the question of, or the criticism of karma was it didn't remove the cause. So bhakti definitely removes the cause. It removes the desire and the avidya behind that desire. It's all removed by the process of bhakti, including the chanting of the holy name. But if we're at this stage before bhakti, that is namabhasa, this type, accidental, we can't expect the full effect. But we can expect at least the karma part is removed. If we're waiting for the desires and the avidya to get removed, that we have to wait for a later stage. So, generally, we go through these stages of and when we do bhakti proper, we have Shraddha Sadhu Sangha, Vaishnava Kriya, Anarjana Vritti, Nishtaruchya Sakti, and Bhava. Through there, the karmas are removed, and anarthas of all sorts are removed, and finally, avidya is removed in bhava stage. So, it takes some time to go through those stages. However, Bhishma Chakravarti also remarks that these stages, going through these gradual stages, is there for persons who commit aparadhas. And if you don't commit any aparadhas, the progress is much quicker than all these, going through all these different stages, for the devotee who commits no aparadhas. So, therefore, that particular stage of anarjan, ruchi, nishta, ruchi, asakti, bhava, may not be applicable to persons who execute bhakti without aparadha much quicker without having to go through all those stages. In any case, this particular instance is not showing only bhakti but particularly the how powerful is the name. And what is the reason for this? The reason is that in the name we have all of the shaktis of the Lord, and we have all the qualities of the Lord, and all the lilas of the Lord, form of the Lord, everything is within the name of the Lord. So non-different from the Supreme Lord. So it has great power. The name of Narayana is equal to Narayana. The name of Krishna is equal to Krishna. So even if it is chanted accidentally, still it is Narayana is there. So that is why when he was almost about to die and he was being dragged out of his body, then the Vishnu Dutas came and says, they said, he chanted the name of Narayana. Anyone who chants the name of Narayana is saved, yeah, because they are like associates of the Lord almost. So therefore, he was protected from the Yamadutas by the Vishnu Dutas. So the name is absolute and invokes the Supreme Lord and the Supreme Lord's associates. It's very, very powerful. So that is what is illustrated in this story. So in spite of all the sinful activities and his fall down and whatever predominance of tamaguna in his life after this point, still the chanting of the name of Narayana eradicated all of that. Well, in general, that's so in any case. There's one quotation that Baladev gives that I think sinful actions throw you into a animal species or something. And our plant species, I think it was, and verbal activities throw you into an animal species, and mental activities will throw you into another human body of a lower sort. More suffering like that. But anyway, definitely the action itself is more serious. That indicates that. So in any case, whether it's Kali Yuga or any case, any yuga, the actual action is much worse than the thought.
Let's see. Sometimes they only participate in people's special program. Sometimes they are also the rule changing.
What's that? Yeah?
Participate temples special program.
Special program?
Special program like Mangalarti, sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
They are also going changing. But temples program that is not, you know, that is above the three to mental nature.
What guna is changing now?
Sometimes, you know, immediately changing the mind.
Oh, the mind of the person is changing.
Yeah.
Immediately
changing.
Yeah.
So they are also going changing. He is, you know,
So mind is just like that. The gunas can change one way or the other due to influence in the material world and so many factors. It is possible. That doesn't mean the bhakti is tamaguna.
His bhakti is tamaguna.
No. And of course, in the third canto, it speaks of tamaguna bhakti, rajaguna bhakti, sattvaguna bhakti, but the meaning there is not that bhakti is tamagun. No. He said, we are tamagun. Bhakti is not tamagun. We do the bhakti, and we are tamagun, and that looks like it, as if bhakti is contaminated, but it isn't. Just like the sun is covered by the clouds, but it's not covered. If you go above the clouds, it's not covered, but from our point of view, it looks covered. So the same like Nama Bas, looks like the name is covered, and the pure potency is not there. So the name is always the name, but we cover it due to our impurities or whatever. So due to our impurities, yes, the mind is always going to change, or the body will change, gunas or whatever. But bhakti doesn't change. The problem is, of course, that the effect of bhakti will much less as the gunas interfere. Just as when the clouds are in the sky, there's less light. So we have the gunas affecting us, then we'll have less effect of bhakti.
Chant the holy name automatically. Suppose they are going on the way, they are chanting Hare Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
So can we, you know, categorize that chanting of holy name as a Namabhasa or?
Well, it's kind of a mixture there because Namabhasa is one, accidental chanting, so it's not real accidental in that sense. And then the other type of Namabhasa is chanting with impurities or ignorance. Now generally, of course, the devotees remove ignorance because we have knowledge, we know Bhagavad Gita philosophy, we know Krishna is God and Jiva is not God, etc. So we don't have that type of a boss. The other type of a boss is the anarthas. We may be mixing our bhakti and we end up with mixed bhakti. But if we have the concepts clear of what is pure bhakti, anyabhilashita shunya, then that also gets removed. So the only problem, of course, is that we do have still some anarthas somewhere, which aren't a big obstacle as such, but may crop up or whatever. And then the other thing is what we call inattention, which you could say is that that's a case of inattentive chanting or whatever like that. So, in the broader sense, no, it is part of pure bhakti if we have the proper knowledge, etc. And we're doing, you know, pure bhakti, then it is still considered pure bhakti. But it, because it is inattentive in one sense, then it's got a lesser potency, obviously. So in that sense, we could say maybe it's not, it's like namabhas. In a sense, it's like namabhas because of the inattention.
Yeah, but
Well, of course, that also is referring to very advanced devotees who spontaneously always chant. In other words, they reach the stage of ruchi or asakti or something like that, where automatically they fill up their time with chanting, which will be also attentive because they have taste. But if one is practicing to do that, there's no harm in doing that. In other words, we do sadhana and we're not always attentive. So it's not a fault. It's just that we're at a lower stage. So we're chanting and we're sometimes inattentive. So that's not a fault. That's why I said it's still part of bhakti. And we can classify the whole status as uttama bhakti, pure bhakti and sadhana. But still, we make a distinction between, you know, the full concentration, the less concentration. And it'll be all the different stages. If we're going through an Arjuna Virji Nishtha, particularly, then obviously there's going to be a big mixture there. And when you get to Ruchi and Asakti, then it's predominantly concentrated with very little deviation of the mind because the taste is there. Well, that taste where he's just chanting is based on his faith, yes?
Yeah.
He has faith and whatever.
Yeah.
But that's a little bit different from the ruchi stage of taste. Where one develops an actual relish for the Supreme Lord's name, and every time he hears it, he develops more and more eagerness for it. That's a little bit different taste. Yes, it's tasted on another level, definitely. Otherwise, he wouldn't chant at all. But when we talk about ruchi and asakti, that is definitely a higher stage of taste. Or he's actually getting some spiritual experience and relishing that.
Krishna and Narayana are all in the ruler stage. And when Ramila got the mercy of Lord, he said that his karmas were eradicated. But then how come he again had a birth that he had to spend his time?
He didn't. He went to Vaikuntha. Take it out of birth, he came back to life because he wasn't supposed to die then anyway, but due to sinful activities he kind of speeded up his apparent death, but he came back to life again, and then he did bhakti after that. Everything went to Vaikuntha. What is that? Well, that literally we take that as kirtan means chanting the name. But if we're going to define a devotee, he does other things also. It's not other things are not excluded, obviously. But of course in Kali Yuga, chanting the name is the main process. Like he said, man manabhavma bhakto yad manyajin namaskaru, etc. So he's not just chanting, he's doing other things. Or offer me a leaf, a fruit, a flower,